This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. We're continuing our 2014 election conversations, and today I'm very happy to have with us State Senator Linda Lopez. She is running for the Democratic nomination for New Mexico governor. Senator, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, good morning. Hello, and thank you for this opportunity to be here. And it's always an honor to have an opportunity to be in front of, and it's not just physically, as I'm saying, but also when you, the auditory is always very important for many of our community members. So thank you for having me here.
It's good to have you with us. You know, I want to start in a very general way to ask you what you think is most important about your background and why you are running for governor.
As a state senator, I've been in the New Mexico State Senate now for 18 years. So this is my fifth term that my community has sent me back to Santa Fe to represent them. I was elected at the age of 31, the first woman from my community to go up to Santa Fe to represent us. A little bit more background on myself, because this all adds up to why I am running for governor. I'm a small business owner, sole proprietor, so it's me, myself, and I. Had an opportunity to travel our country as a recruiter for Sandia National Labs when I was a contractor with them. So I have visited many communities across this country in recruiting minority students to come and work at the labs, working with colleges and universities that the federal government had contracts with. So great opportunity to go and visit Salish Kootenai up in the Montanas, the Dakotas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Puerto Rico, and of course here in New Mexico. Here at Highlands, we did some recruiting as well as at Highlands and here at New Mexico State University. I've also worked at Oregon State University doing some work, bringing people together and talking about commonalities, trying to find solutions to the issues that were affecting communities, especially border towns between tribal governments and the local community, to find ways of solving some of the issues. Those are some of the experiences I bring to this table in running for governor. In addition to knowing and understanding Santa Fe for 18 years, I serve as a chairwoman of the Senate Rules Committee for 13 years. And as I tell folks as I travel our beautiful state, you're not in leadership unless you understand, can work with people on both sides of the aisle. You have to, you know, show the leadership skills that are necessary to do that. And I'm a fair committee chairperson. So why am I running for governor? I believe it's an opportunity for us to have a leader running state government. The current executive that is there has no heart, no soul for the state of New Mexico. And everywhere I have a chance to go, I say, I talk, I listen and hear our people across from north, south, east, and west communities in the state of New Mexico. And there are many who, based on the actions of this current administration, are without hope. When you talk about the issues on education, you're looking at the issues on job creation, the economy, health care, behavioral health. The list is so long, even 30 minutes would not be sufficient at this point. I'd love to come back maybe at some point just to talk more about the issues. But specifically, I'm running for governor because New Mexico needs someone with the heart and soul who loves New Mexico, who loves all of our people, and is willing to go to bat.
Okay, well, in going to bat, both in the state legislature and if you are elected governor, there is a major issue for so many people across our state, and that is job creation. What in your view, should the state government do to encourage job creation? As I understand it, and this was recently in the local press, New Mexico currently is the only state in the country that has not had job growth since the end of the recession, the official end of the recession.
Yes. In fact, in reading the newspaper this morning, it does specifically mention here in this region, southern part of New Mexico, that the jobless rate has increased. That is not what should be happening for our state. And as the chief executive of this state, should I be elected governor, we will work hard to change the mentality that currently exists. It all starts with us as the people beginning to see that glimmer of hope. Now, as governor, you can't create jobs specifically other than state government. There are some areas that I have said publicly, and I'm saying it as I continue to travel and talk to many more interested persons, is that as governor, I will hire more people to come and work within state government, especially in the critical departments such as children, youth, and families, the Department of Health, Department of Transportation, Corrections. I mean, there are many of our departments that are short, qualified staff. Those we need to start replacing. Instead of doing a flat budget, as this governor has proposed, we need to look at and target specifically where we need to bring in qualified New Mexicans to work. And there are many departments across the state, offices that are there that we can, again, begin recruiting from local communities, which helps the jobless, you know, the rates, it makes a difference in changing. When the state takes a leadership role in beginning to look at this from a positive perspective and outreach and build, you know, changing the context, changing the conversation about what New Mexicans can do to change, to make the positive change, that's the role of the governor. That's the role of our state government. One of the proposals I also have is talking about an internship program for our young people, ages 17 to 24. When you are out in the world, they ask you, what's on your resume? You know, that's something we all have to show. Many of our young people don't have opportunities in which to get an internship, an opportunity to have a professional work experience listed on their resume. I was down here speaking with a family in Santa Teresa just before session started this year, and their biggest concern was they have a young student, their son, who goes here to New Mexico State University. He couldn't find any internship programs here within this community. He's going to Tucson this summer.
Mm.
Their fear, he leaves, he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
That will change, because you also have to give our young people, who are our future, hope and understand that we believe in them. That begins to change at the leadership role. The private sector says, hey, if you can do this, you know what, maybe we can work together and figure out how to grow that. That begins to change the mentality.
Okay. Well, as you know, last year the legislature passed a corporate tax cut promoted by Governor Martinez as a way to boost the economy and potentially boost jobs. What are your thoughts about that?
First and foremost, I voted no on that bill. And I know I've been asked questions, as many of my colleagues who voted either in the positive or negative on the bill. But there was no information that was given to us, first of all, on the Senate on that day when the bill was brought forward, that really didn't give us a full comprehensive financial picture as to what impact this bill was going to have. And the information came to us after the bill was passed out of the Senate. That's not the way we do government. And as a legislator, that to me is, there's not enough information for us to look at. And as a representative of the people, I had to vote no. Hindsight, it was the right thing to do, even more so because of the tax breaks that were given in there. Tax breaks do not create jobs. We have done that so many years, and I've been in Santa Fe for 18 years, and I've seen this come and go. The more of a promise we say of giving a tax break, you're going to come and bring jobs. Well, let's hold those companies to their feet to the fire. IRBs, industrial revenue bonds, that have been given by many communities in the state, they promise they're going to hire our local people, but do they? It's because we as government don't hold those the companies, their promises, we don't hold their feet to the fire, and that has to happen. And with this whole issue on the tax bill, there was one thing that the governor has said that she, you know, Governor Martinez says that she does not support tax increases. Well, I challenge her. Because in that bill, there was also what we call the hold harmless for all of our communities, both county and municipal governments, that when we gave away, stopped the tax on food back under Governor Richardson, we had promised local government that the state would keep and continue that hold harmless so that our local communities would still have what I call a chunk of change to keep their government moving. When the governor signed that bill, she essentially passed a tax increase on to our communities. And many different communities are dealing with that whole issue right now as to how do they hold their own budget whole. You know, some communities, even $100,000 for many of our rural communities is a huge chunk of change. So where are they going to make up the difference? Then it goes back to cutting services, which our people need, cutting jobs. You know, one or two jobs makes a difference for so many of our communities across the state. So for me, I did the right vote because many of those components of that bill, and essentially, the governor has passed on a tax increase to our communities.
Another very controversial issue, of course, in the state of New Mexico is education. Last year, some education measures that passed the legislature were vetoed by the governor. What are your thoughts on that and on education overall? What needs to be done in the state? I realize that's a very big question for a 30-minute interview in which we're talking about lots of things. But if you can summarize for us.
Education is the core of everything that we do, both in our local communities and, of course, in our country. Without a strong public education system, our democracy is going to go downhill because education is at the forefront of everything that we do. Education is the reason why I'm here. You are here, those the listeners, too. It makes the difference and helps us move up and beyond what our parents had the ability to do. I mean, that's what the hope is, that the next generation always does better than we do as parents. I'm hoping that for my son, too. He has to do better than mom. Education at this point in time is being pushed towards privatization. The issues that the governor and Ms. Hannah Scandera have brought in are demeaning, demoralizing, and putting such a burden on our teachers and families and students that there is no hope anymore left that I have heard of, that I have seen in my son and in his classmates and the teachers at his school. That has to change, and I will change that as governor. The issue on the, I call it the incessant testing that we have placed on our students. Testing does not make our students smarter. We have to work and put money in the budget that helps to bring opportunity, because not all of us learn the same way. And the governor, of course, Governor Martinez and Ms. Scandera had proposed doing a third grade retention. Well, it was my bill that stopped it about two sessions ago. And that, right then and there, it didn't go. Because to try and retain a child in third grade because they can't read at third grade means that we have a lot of work to do, even when they're in kinder, first, and second. And just because they can't, we should be working with them all the way through middle school, because those are still very formative years. And we need to invest and work and put programs in place to fully fund those programs that our children can and will. We did have a bill, not this session, but the session before, that dealt with the teachers' evaluations. I voted in support of it. The governor, Martinez, vetoed it. That was a, I call it a win-win, where teachers came together with others to come up with this process of how they could be evaluated. Governor vetoed it, and then she put in by rule, promulgated rule, the evaluation system that currently is on the shoulders and backs of our schools. That will change under my administration. As I've told folks, too, at 12:05 or 12:06 a.m., I will have an executive order that stops it there in its place. The evaluation system that is on rule is gone. We have something on the books. There's already a state law. Let's figure a transition, and let's do this right. The other portion about the constant testing of our children, we will suspend all the unnecessary testing because children need an opportunity. Our students need time to learn. And when you are teaching to the test, when you are there concentrating only on the test because that's what your grade based on these evaluations is being done, I mean, that's where you're going to put your attention. That needs to stop, because education is also an opportunity to use both sides of the brain for creative thinking, for people who can sit here and have a dialogue and have different, you know, both sides of an issue and be able to do that. That's what's built our country, and that's what I will begin to dismantle of what this governor has put in place.
Okay. I want to continue on with another very important issue for many, many people in the state of New Mexico, and that is health care. It's a growing part of the state budget, and it's of incredible importance in a state, as you know, like ours, with a very high poverty rate. I want to get your agenda on health care for New Mexico.
Health care is essential for we as a people to be, of course, healthy, but in order to survive and to move on to the next generation. And it still goes back to that child that shows up at school to be educated, and I call the whole child, because it talks about, as you just mentioned, with regards to jobs, health care, support services, you know, eradicating the issue on food shortage. You know, we do have families who are hungry. It's this whole circle that affects that child. And health care is it's one important component of what makes a difference. having access to with the Affordable Care Act. It's beginning a movement, but New Mexico still has to look as to the access points of where our people go to access health care. So it's the community-based health care facilities. It is looking, especially in rural New Mexico, where we do have access points. School-based health centers are another opportunity. I have supported those in all my years. Remember, I've been around 18 years, and yes, I do have a voting record. You don't have to wonder what I support. You'll see it. It's been there, and it's not going to change as when I'm governor. But these whole bits and pieces need to be part of this discussion as to how our people have access with Affordable Care Act. But there's still what I call that donut that's in the middle. Those who may not qualify for the expanded Medicaid, those who may not be able to afford the insurance through the health exchanges, there's still a population that's still stuck in the middle. That's where indigent care funds still have to be protected and see what we can do, since we all pay into that as taxpayers. Every county has a fund of some sort that uses in order to provide health care for our people. But it's the access points and how we train our health professionals. You know, doctors who are willing to stay in rural New Mexico, dentists, because, you know, the teeth, the dental aspect of it is also part of the health care. We need to see about the professionals in that. There are opportunities that have come in front of the legislature that we don't have to, rethink. There's already been some great information that's been presented to us, but let's dust the book off and let's put some of those action points into real, live, everyday movement. And last but not least, with regards to the healthcare, it's about our young people, about having healthy families. You know, when young mothers are pregnant, to make sure they have good prenatal care, that we take care of it so our young children, when they're born, are born into a healthy family. So there's all those issues that come in. It's the issue on obesity for our young people, how we work with that through education, in physical education. One of my proposals and that will be presented to the legislature is fully funding physical ed K-8. We don't have enough money that does that. Not all of our schools offer PE. There's some other things that I've been learning and I've seen over the years is with regards to health care for our seniors. Our elders need care, and we need to focus on putting monies back into the system to make sure that our elders have, the families that are their caretakers have respite care, that our seniors have points where they can go, especially in rural New Mexico, where if they need to go and access points of health care, even if it's rehab or something else that they need to make their lives a better quality, we're not doing our job.
Let me ask you about behavioral health care, because as you know, this has been extremely controversial under the Martinez administration, with the change in providers, some of them going to out-of-state providers, there's been an awful lot of controversy over this. What do you make of the situation?
I still remember the day I got a phone call from a person who worked for one of these behavioral health care providers as to what had just happened. And I was en route to a committee hearing, and I couldn't believe what I had just heard. What Governor Martinez essentially has done is dismantled our behavioral health care system in the state of New Mexico single-handedly. I've been around since Governor Gary Johnson. We went into Medicaid managed care. Their behavioral health care was carved out of Medicaid, and that began more problems for the state of New Mexico for our behavioral health care system. It just completely, I believe, fell apart. We've slowly been trying to mend the pieces, but what Governor Martinez did in doing this accusation without no real proof, to me, has just completely, as I say, thrown a bomb in the middle of our community. And here we are trying to pick up the pieces with the company I know here locally that's had to decrease their staff and cut pay, et cetera, to try and make ends meet. I always have a question as to why they're doing that. They knew what they were coming into when they came into the state. Where is this, what is it, what's their benefit as a company, and how is it not benefiting us? As governor, we will begin to piece together exactly where what these contracts have given away of our tax dollars, of the federal monies that come in, and it's going to take a bit to rebuild, but we are going to do that because we should be utilizing New Mexicans who are qualified, who have taken care of these families, to come back and take care of us again.
I want to move on to another issue now that always seems to come up both at the state and the federal level. Some say that New Mexico needs tax reform. Do you agree with that statement? And what do you make of the state's tax system right now?
The state's tax system, first of all, needs to be looked at, reviewed, and let's get a full picture as to what we currently have on the books. We don't know. In all honesty, we do not know how many tax credits, how many, you know, what is sitting out there. We don't have a clear picture. We get a snippet of it. I've sat on the Legislative Finance Committee. There's just a small little snippet of information that I have seen over all these years. There's been talk about how we can do maybe a tax expenditure budget. That's something I will look into to see how we change the process that we do now of budgeting. But no more tax breaks at this point that I see in our future, because if you continue to give away our tax base, then what are we left with here in New Mexico in order to provide the services that I believe government is here to do? We are here to help our people prosper and give that basic, at least just a basic level playing field, should I say, that all of us have in which we can move up and down and grow from. And the more we continue to give away our tax base, the less money we have for our public schools, the less money we have for our healthcare system, for our roads and infrastructure. We have to stop at this point and take a look and see if there's a tax credit that's not working, then maybe that shouldn't be on the books anymore. We have to work this smart.
Core, I think, to the values that you're talking about there, and I want to get your statement on this, is the belief by some people that the need to carefully analyze our tax system is very crucial for the future of New Mexico, because one of the things that people value in our state is having affordable property taxes. Some of the folks who do value that say that won't be possible if other taxes, other sources of revenue continue to be eroded.
Exactly. I mean, you take away, when you're balancing your budget at home, as you have to, you know, take away from this, maybe going out to the movies or you doing, you know, having some fun in order to make up for increase in cost of maybe your interest rate in your home mortgage or the cost of water, you know, all the other things that we pay for if you're a homeowner. Or actually, you know, your rents are also increasing too, because those property owners have to cover their base of expenses too. But again, that goes back to where I was just stating, you give away more money than we have to make up the revenue someplace. And it goes back to the homeowner, it goes back to the property owner, whomever it may be, because in order to cover costs of what government is supposed to be doing, at the basic level even, you still have to find the cash. Our schools lose money, then they have to come back to the voter to see if the voter can make up more. It's for K-12, it's for higher education. If we need more social services, then you go back and tax yourself. I mean, taxes will still have to be increased. The state of Texas doesn't have, when you earn money, you don't have to pay taxes on that. However, if you look at everything else that you purchase in Texas, you pay through, I mean, it's expensive, let's just put it that way. You have to make up the revenue in some way, shape, or form. Nothing is done for free.
Okay. Well, as you know, there have been some really high-profile battles over environmental issues in recent years, everything from renewable energy standards to building codes. What is your environmental agenda, and where does this fall into place if you are elected governor?
The environment is to some is important, to others it's kind of important. It depends where we are in the state of New Mexico. But there's a commonality that I have found is that we all want to make sure that New Mexico is preserved for the future. And as governor, I will make sure that everybody sits at the table so we can have a very thorough understanding, discussion, and seeing where our commonalities are to find where we move. New Mexico has a unique position where we have the oil and gas industry that provides jobs for different parts of our state. But the monies that we receive out of those extraction royalties make up what and how we run government. So they have an important role. We have to make sure we work with them to make sure there's a proper oversight with regards, you know, if it's the natural gas, the oil, whichever it may be, but we need to work together. The other aspect of what we are given as gifts in New Mexico is the wind, which, of course, we're experiencing very much these days lately. But the wind and sun need to be added as part of this mix of our portfolio for energy in the state of New Mexico that we will work on and continue to focus under my administration to encourage that. But our communities, local communities, our everyday middle class and that community, and even those who are a little bit less in money, need to have access for solar energy. So we have to find it to make it a way that's much more affordable for that access to those new types of energies, which have actually been around a very long time. For the environment, we also have to look as to how we take care of our water. Because no matter how much we talk about job creation and who we're going to recruit to the state of New Mexico, if we don't have drinkable water, and I say that just in plain layman's terms, laywoman's terms, then what are we going to do? We have a drought that's here. How we take care of our water consumption. We have a lot of infrastructure work that still needs to be taken care of for, you know, persons who are in septic. There's a lot of leaching that's still happening. We have to make sure that those persons who are on that system have infrastructure that is made new again. We need to go in and take care of that. Some of our communities may go on a water system. Those are things that we have to look to see how we can take care of the needs of water. Because without water, no job creation. Without fresh water, people leave. Without fresh water, no agriculture.
Gotta have it. All right. Final question for you really relates to all of the issues that we've talked about over the half hour. Some folks say that in state government, we need better transparency. What are your thoughts on this? Do you agree with that statement? And if you do, what should we do to have better transparency? I know that's a lot in about a minute.
Oh, gosh. Transparency means that you have a government that's open. You don't hide what is happening. This current administration has hidden a lot of their work amongst and between government officials on private emails. That shouldn't be happening. There's plenty of information, and we could spend many a time going over all of that. If we're going to be running government, and as governor of the state of New Mexico, we will have an open door policy, meaning that anything that happens is a public information. The IPRA requests that have come in, it takes us many a time. The governor right now says any requests, even from the legislature, now has to go through her office for approval. To me, that is not what government is about. We are paid for by the people's taxes. We have to work with our people and make sure that we are open. And that's what I will make sure happens under my administration.
State Senator Linda Lopez, she is running for the Democratic nomination for New Mexico governor. Thank you so much for being with us.